Today, as we come to the table,
what authority do you have? God did have to give Moses and Aaron some power to show their authority, right? Because Pharaoh wouldn't have listened to them either way. And although God doesn't always give a sign or a miracle for the unbeliever, sometimes he does. And in this case, God did. He gave them this sign, these signs, if you will. And he said, cast your rod before Pharaoh, it'll become a serpent. Interesting, a lot of the facts, as we said, the serpent represents Satan. So this whole symbolism here that's going on of this serpent coming down, and now there's going to be this kind of showdown. Who is greater, God or Satan? We know that God is greater, but this is just a small thing to kind of set the groundwork before he gets into the 10 plagues.
In Pastor Mark's study of the book of Exodus has come to a point where Pharaoh could have saved his people a lot of hardship. He could have seen God's power and decided to let the people go. He would be witnessing some great things from the Lord. Why not recognize it and admit the authority? But as you'll see today, he doesn't. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. Many people could admit that God is powerful. They see miracles. They hear the truth. They know where it's coming from, but they simply don't yield. Keep praying for those you're sharing the gospel with, that one day they'll understand and know the Lord personally. Turn your Bible to Exodus chapter 7 and join Pastor Mark as he concludes his message, Swallowing the Serpent.
God does something in the heart of even the most brutal of men. They become tender. Tender because of the work that the Lord does. And he says, you know what? You guys are my army. You're the army of God. And so you don't have to be great at physical army. You have to be just who you are and praying from the heart, no matter how, unrefined it is. God says, you're doing warfare. It's battle. And notice God says also, he desired to bring them out of Egypt by great judgments. And I love this because we need to understand that God desires to show his power to the world through great judgments and make it evident. I think that's neat because if God desires to show his power in great judgments, we make a good team because I desire to see it. How about you guys? I desire to see the hand of God move in great ways. And I love it when you see God move in great ways. It's exciting to me. Now, however, in this particular word here, the word for judgment, he's speaking of punishment. So it's not just great works or miracles. This is specifically speaking of punishing Pharaoh and those in Egypt who've refused to repent because God has given them time to repent and they haven't. He's given them the time they needed. And so this really shows the fact that if we're rebellious long enough, that refusal to repent, there will be a judgment. Now, here comes that, tell it all, Moses, tell it all. Yes, God loves you. He will forgive you. He died on the cross for you. He's gracious. He's merciful, all those things. But if I'm going to tell it all, as God instructed Moses and Aaron to tell it all, I have to also tell you he's a God of judgment. God judges as well. If we refuse to repent long enough, there's going to come a time where God will judge us, and it won't be pretty. But God is gracious, and God is long-suffering, but we have to have the full gospel. And notice verse 5, he says, and the Egyptians, when I do this, these great judgments I'm going to do, the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, not all their false gods that I'm about to judge in all these plagues. And we'll see God begin to judge the gods of Egypt in these plagues. That's what he does through the plagues. He's judging the gods of Egypt, showing he's greater. And we'll talk about those gods when we get to them and who they are. But he says, then they'll know I'm the Lord. Ra's not the Lord. These other gods you serve aren't the Lord. I'm the Lord. When I stretch out my hand on Egypt and I bring out the children of Israel from among them, because Pharaoh would certainly not let them go unless God made him let them go. He says, then they're going to know that I'm God because they're going to see what I do in Egypt and they're going to see what I do in Pharaoh. It's interesting. There's more than one purpose for God letting his people go free here in Egypt. Because notice what he says. He says, I'll bring out the children of Israel from among them, and the Egyptians shall know. The Egyptians shall know. So note this. God wasn't just setting free the children of Israel. God was being a witness to the Gentiles. So what is my point in that? When God saves us, he's not just setting us free, which I'm very thankful for, but God is letting the world around us know there's a God in heaven who sets people free. And if you want to be set free, God will set you free. I mean, how many of you guys, when you came to the Lord, maybe you had a real rough background or whatever your background was, and you come to the Lord and all your buddies from the world see the change that's happened in your life. Do you think that doesn't have an impact? It does. It has a powerful impact. Sometimes they receive Christ, sometimes they don't, but they can't deny that something has happened in your life. It reminds me of the blind man when they're trying to get him to say, well, what really happened? You know, I can see now. He touched me and I'm healed. Well, no, what really happened? Come on, you can't just, look, I was blind and now I see. You go figure it out. I don't know, but God did it. And so I love it because set them free, set us free, but at the same time, be a witness to the Lord. You know, I think God's doing some of that in America right now, guys, on a national level. I think God's doing some of that today through this whole Tim Tebow thing. I really do. And I'm not lifting up Tim Tebow. Listen, this is not, we're not going to that. What a great brother in the Lord. We need to be praying for him because I guarantee you he's a huge target. And he's a great witness. And I'm proud of him as a brother. I'm excited that he's my brother. And I pray for him. I say, God, continue to give him this boldness and this courage. And whether he's winning games or not, he can be a testimony, a witness for Christ. That's not the point. But it has become such a national issue now that God, I think, is making a statement almost through it. I don't think God has a favorite football team. It's, you know, certainly not the Broncos. Maybe the Colts when Peyton's healthy, you know. Oh, stop it. But you know what? Because he is so open about his faith, it has become a national discussion. And I've started noticing national mocking. And then I was like, right on. Because every time you see God mocked on a national level, you see God move on a national level. Remember David and Goliath.
Who will fight me? You know, send down your strongest or whatever, you know. And David, I'll fight him. I'm not afraid of him. You know, I'm going to take your God and I'm going to show that my God is greater.
Well, see, now he's not attacking David. He's attacking what? David's God. See, if somebody's attacking us, well, we're kind of on our own. You know, get them up, you know. But if somebody's attacking our God, whoa. Because God's going to defend his name. And when I heard these people start mocking him and say, I don't know what God's going to do, how he's going to do it. But I think God is making a statement, because especially after, you know, he lost those three games in a row and all the people that have been giving him a hard time, see, we told you, and this God stuff, and we don't need God in football, and people just really even getting vulgar about him and all this kind of stuff, you know? And then all of a sudden you see this thing happen here, and I believe that God is just basically saying to the nation and to the unbelievers, you know what? There are supernatural things, and I'm doing supernatural things in this. Tim Tebow, in college, he would wear a couple of different scriptures, but most of the time, John 3:16. He's known for John 3:16. And maybe you guys already know this, but I thought it interesting. And again, on that Steelers game, here's what happened. If you're not a football person, you don't know this. Overtime, Steelers, Broncos, first play in the overtime last week, you know, Tebow throws this touchdown pass, touchdown, the game's over, right? Overtime. After that pass, he had a total of 316 yards. Now, why is that interesting to me? Because, see, the NFL outlawed that nobody could do that because they don't want personal messages on there. God will not be denied. And God took the man known for 316, and in this miracle win of a team that was supposed to beat him on the first play of overtime, what does he do? He now has how many yards throwing that night? 316. It didn't stop there. Guess how many yards per pass he had for the night? 316. 31.6. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't see that as a coincidence. I see that as a national statement. You have mocked me, you've denied me. I've now used my servant to show that I'm real. What are you going to do about America? Will you now believe or will you not? And God will warn, and he'll warn, and then if we don't heed, what happens? God will judge. So I don't know whether or not he'll win any more games in his life. Because it's not about God raising up some man to be the greatest football player ever. That's not how God works. The idea is God will take a man or a woman who will say, I will be an open witness for you. I'll be a public witness for you. And if you want to use me, use me. And you're going to be mocked and you're going to also be praised, so to speak. But either way, God will use you if you'll do that. Tim Tebow said, I'm going to do it. And so God is doing it. And it's exciting. I really believe there's something going on here that is really neat. So we'll see. It may end here, but there's been enough statement made, has there not? Just amazing to watch God work. So he says, this is not just for you Egyptians. This is for the Gentiles. This is for the Egyptians as well, or not just you Jews and Moses, but this is also for the Egyptians. Then Moses and Aaron did so. Notice this, just as, I have that underlined, just as the Lord commanded them, so they did. Why do I have just as underlined? Because remember he said, tell them what? All? You got it. You got it, Father. I'm not going to water it down anymore. I'm not going to leave anything out. I'm not going to soften anything. Yes, they may get mad at me. Yes, it may hurt our friendship, but I've got to say what you've told me to say, every word of it. But help me to do it in love. Help me to do it in love. But Lord, I'm not leaving a word of it out. I love it. Just as the Lord commanded, so they did. Very specific in letting them know that. You know, you need to do this the right way. And so now they do it the right way. And notice, and Moses was 80 years old and Aaron was 83 years old when he spoke to Pharaoh. Now, do you think you're too old to start in ministry? I cross my arms. Huh. You're never too old. 80 and 83? You know, he took Gramps and Grandpa and said, come on, we're doing ministry. And so I love it. God can use us wherever we are. As a matter of fact, I think God waited this long in their lives because they had such a great work for them to do, and it took a long time to prepare for that. Sometimes when you're waiting, it's because God is preparing you for something that's too great for you to do right now. You're not mature enough. God, why won't you use me? You wait. You watch what I'm going to do. But I have a lot of molding, a lot of shaping. You know, some of us take more molding and shaping than others. I remember in boxcar, Cub Scouts, we had these box, I think it was Cub Scouts. Mike would probably know. I want to talk about the boxcar, little races they do, whatever that's called, derby, boxcar derby or whatever. What's it called? Pinewood Derby. All right, Pinewood Derby, that's it. I heard different things, but yeah, that's the one I was in. And I remember what they would do is, as a kid, you know, they give you that block of pine, right? And they give you some wheels. They say, now go and mold this into a race car, do whatever. And I never was much of one to really, you know, do that stuff. But you had to do it because you're part of the group, right? So you show up and all these guys have these beautiful little rounded cars that all painted and little stripes down the side and the little fire and all those, whatever. I had that same piece of wood, a block, with the wheels on it. Probably make some kind of statement about my character. You can figure that out. But God has to take, you know, blockheads like me. It takes a lot longer to round off the corners. And, you know, that's why I look at him. God, I didn't get saved until I was 25. You know, Tebow has known the Lord as long as I've been alive. You know, as long as I was alive by the time I got saved. I think, Lord, why couldn't I have known you as a small child and a baby growing up and been trained to? That's in God's hands. I can't change that, but I can start when I'm saved, right? Yep. And God took that block of wood, and I'm glad he's not like me. He started rounding the corners off. And God's rounding your corners off. He's making you sleek. He's making you faster. He's making you where you'll reach the end, the finish line. And not just, you know, not just finish, but you're going to finish well, you see, if you let God work. And so these guys, 80 and 83 years old, but they're going to really be used in ministry in a powerful way. And so the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh speaks to you, saying, show a miracle for yourselves, then you shall say to Aaron, take your rod and cast it before Pharaoh and let it become a serpent. God anticipated that Pharaoh would ask for a sign, and God was ready for him. And then just like the unbeliever in the world, show us a sign. You say you're something, show us a sign, especially Pharaoh, because he believed he was a god and he had all his other gods. And what authority do you have? God did have to give Moses and Aaron some power to show their authority, right? Because Pharaoh wouldn't have listened to him either way. And although God doesn't always give a sign or a miracle for the unbeliever, sometimes he does. And in this case, God did. He gave them this sign, these signs, if you will. And he said, cast your rod before Pharaoh, it'll become a serpent. Interesting, a lot of the fact, as we said, the serpent represents Satan. So this whole symbolism here that's going on of this serpent coming down, and now there's going to be this kind of showdown. Who is greater, God or Satan? We know that God is greater. But this is just a small thing to kind of set the groundwork before he gets into the 10 plagues. So it's really going to intensify. So Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh, and they did so. Again, notice that language again. Just as the Lord had commanded. They didn't leave anything out. They did it all. Everything God told them to do, just as the Lord commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. I love it. You know, this is interesting. I don't think he did everything exactly the way God told him the first time, and now God may be correcting that, but note this. When we do what God says to do, we will see God do what he has promised to do. Isn't that great? If we don't do what God has said to do, we won't see the promises of God because we're not being obedient. But if we will just obey and do what God has asked, God will do what he said he's going to do. Now we see this whole thing going on where he throws the serpent down. Also note this, and we're going to see this later on when we get to these guys. These Jannes and Jambres are the guys that are leading this up. It tells us in another place in Scripture. It doesn't tell us here. But these guys here, they're going to begin to do things. These magicians, these sorcerers, these witchcraft guys that Pharaoh has, they're going to begin to do miracles as well. And guys, we have to note this. Satan has power even as God has power. Now, is Satan's power anything compared to God's power? No. Remember, creator, created being. Who gave Satan his power? God, who could take Satan's power away at any moment if he wanted. God. But God is allowing Satan to have this power. And you ask yourself, why didn't God remove Satan's power when he fell? You know, would that make the earth a lot easier? I don't know all the answers to that. I don't know why God didn't take all his power away. The Bible doesn't really tell us, but the Bible says that God is going to allow Satan to have limited power as an archangel with whatever supernatural ability that brings, limited power until Judgment Day. On Judgment Day, God will cast him in the lake of fire. It'll be a done deal. He'll lock him up for 1,000 years, then throw him into the lake of fire. Again, we'll get into that more in Revelation. But the bottom line is, God's going to allow him to keep that, which means there are two kinds of power in the world. There's godly power and there's ungodly power. Is there any real power in witchcraft and in Ouija boards and in tarot cards and in palm reading and in psychics? Is there any real power in that? The answer is, and it's a trick question, because it's not God's power. So in one way you could say not real power because God, but there is power. It's fake power. It's deceitful power. It's lesser power. It's deceiving power, Satan's power. And Satan can do just enough through this kind of spiritism and witchcraft things to make people go, it's real. Well, it is real to a certain degree, but it's not God's power. And so don't, you know, when you see the person that can tell you, you know, last week you put on your favorite blouse and I'm getting the color blue. If that's true, it was my favorite blouse and it is blue. This is real. How do you think that person knows that? There's a spiritual realm that can speak to the unbeliever even as God speaks to us. As the demonic realm sees that person go in that room and goes, you know, blouse, blue, last week, you know, if they're really in tune with the demonic realm, they begin to pick that up, just like we hear the Spirit of God. Oh, there's whatever. It's demonic, guys. Like I said, it is even real at times, but it's demonic. And oftentimes deceive people into believing there's something legitimate to it because of that. But it's not a competition. It's simply a deception. I also find it interesting here, the word for serpent is also translated dragon, which again just gives that fuller picture of seeing Satan's hand behind all this. It says, but Pharaoh, so they do that, throws it down, it becomes a serpent, but Pharaoh also called the wise men the sorcerers. That word sorcerer means witchcraft, those that were involved in witchcraft, that deceitful power, real, some of it's real, but it's demonic. He brings those guys in, so the magicians of Egypt, and they also did in like manner with their enchantments. Now, some say, well, what they did was they charmed these snakes and got them real stiff. And you can do that. You know, they say you can actually charm certain snakes and get them real stiff and then set them down, they'll begin to wiggle or whatever. But I kind of think that would be kind of hard to pull off if they come in there, you know, with the snakes and trying to keep them straight and how long it took to set them down. No, I believe this is a legitimate demonic miracle that we see in Satan's limited power that he's able to do through these guys. And we're going to notice, as it goes through these plagues, you're going to see limited, true, supernatural things that Satan is able to do through Jannes and Jambres and the boys until they reach a certain point, and that is creating life. There's a point where Moses is going to take the dust. God says, take the dust and spread it to the wind, and it's going to become insects that cover the land. And when that happens, these guys go to Pharaoh, and they say, this is the finger of God. We can't do this. This is beyond our ability. And so Satan can do certain things supernaturally up to a point, but when it comes to creating life, that is when he's stuck. He cannot do it. So, you know, again, God is going to show, no, we're not equal. Probably to Pharaoh at this point, it looked equal. Hey, you know, his snake, my snakes, it's equal. Your gods are whatever. And so you think that it's going to be something, you know, that's going to be equal, but then watch what happens. Notice every man threw down his rod, that is of those guys that came in, and they became serpents, but Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. Man, what a freaky thing to watch. Can you imagine? I was trying to imagine today what that would be like and how long that took, you know? You know, days later, I don't know. It had to be fast. I'm sure it was fast, and that probably what made it so amazing. All of a sudden, God's rod kicks into gear and just, you know, and he said, whoa. I mean, this if this didn't make you believe, what would? Now, note this. This is important here. And bear with me as I'm about to finish up, because we're getting toward the end here, and sometimes your mind begins to wander. Listen, a rod in that day was a sign of authority. So God had them bring their rods in to show their authority. Now Pharaoh says, I'll show you my authority, and I'll make multiple snakes, and we'll do the authority through my guys or whatever. And so now this is what's interesting. God is showing my authority swallows up yours. You have limited power, Satan. The earth has limited ability, but I am the ultimate God of all, and I will swallow you up. And so what a picture he was giving, showing an authority, this heavenly authority, their heavenly authority was greater than their earthly authority. And it wasn't just one serpent he swallowed, it was multiple serpents that they swallowed, all of Pharaoh's serpents that they swallowed, and swallowing that symbol of authority again. And that doesn't mean that we're not to come under the authorities of the world. Don't get me wrong, like Romans 13 says, this is talking about when they're going against the word of God. And when the world is going against the word of God, the authority you have in Christ is greater. It trumps the world's authority if they're denying the word of God. And this was the message God was giving to Moses and through Moses and to Pharaoh. And you would think at this point they believe. You know, the Pharaoh would just say, you know what, that's it, man. That's amazing. Nobody can do that. How in the world could anybody do that? But notice verse 13. You think Pharaoh would just say, whoa, I believe. But it says, and Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them as the Lord had said. Note this, Pharaoh simply hardened his heart more. And guys, here's an important point I don't want you to miss. Even miracles rarely convert the unbeliever. Note that. People say, if I could see a miracle, that usually doesn't do it. For the unbeliever, miracles rarely convert. Miracles typically only work with somebody who already has a soft enough heart to want to believe in God. And then they see the hand of God and God draws them in with that. God can use a miracle to draw people in. But most of the time when it's unbelievers, their heart's hard. I guarantee you, those that have been mocking Tim Tebow, just because of that game that happened, they may have to sit back and go, whoa, but they're not converting. They're not going to come out and say, okay, we know now, it's true, God's real, we repent, we're going to give our life to Him. They're not going to do that. Because I believe in a sense that was a small miracle, but that miracles are not going to convince them. And miracles won't convince anybody. It's the heart condition that does the convincing. And Pharaoh's heart grew hard. And again, it means to be strengthened in hardness. And we're going to see it only gets worse from here. So guys, as we finish tonight, here's the question. Do you feel swallowed up by the serpent? If you're being swallowed by the serpent, it's because you're not availing the power that God's given you. You have to first understand that you have authority. God's power can swallow the serpents of Satan. He has greater power. He has authority. He rules. And he's given you that power, that authority. So if you're being swallowed up by the enemy, it's because you either don't understand it or you're not applying it to your life. All you have to do is say, God, I believe in your power. Give me victory and set me free. And if you do that, believing in your heart, God will give you victory and God will set you free. How God does it, when God does it, I can't say. I have to be very careful to say it's going to happen like this, the way it happened in my life. God set me free overnight. I know it doesn't happen that way for everyone. Everybody has their different way that God deals and different struggles. But here's what I do know. God has the power when he so chooses to absolutely set you free. And what does the Bible say? Jesus said this, when the Son sets you free, you shall be free. That's the God we serve. I believe it. I've lived it. It's been a part of my life. And God offers the same thing to us. So guys, rather than allowing the enemy to swallow us up, let's swallow him up. By the power of God, that may be hard for him to swallow. But through prayer and God's Spirit, God can do it.
Thanks for coming to the table of God's Word with Pastor Mark for his study in the book of Exodus. This Old Testament book of the Bible is an interesting one, as it's the end of one era for the people of Israel, heading into a new season for them that leads them back to their homeland. Through the events in this book, you'll learn of God's miraculous ways of bringing people to freedom. Just looking at the seemingly impossible things that God brought about through the book of Exodus helps you realize that He's a God of power, authority, and incredible majesty. The Israelites experienced this firsthand, but it didn't take long for them to forget what He'd done. Can you relate? Perhaps you've seen God work in your life in amazing ways, but it doesn't take long to be back in a place where you feel like God isn't working in your life. If that's so, we'd really like to be a support for you in prayer. If you go to thewaymedia.net, you'll find a questions and comments link. Go ahead and fill out this form, and we'd like to know what we can be praying for, as well as any thoughts or comments about what you've heard today. You can also listen to additional teachings at thewaymedia.net. That's all the time we have for today. But Pastor Mark has more to share from the miracle-filled book of Exodus. We hope you'll join us again and learn and grow in ways that God speaks to you personally related to the things written down in Exodus. We're thankful for you taking the time today to listen, and we look forward to you joining us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.